Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I don't get it. I'm flustered. It's like we're talking two different languages. My God.
Now I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Jeff Lutz.
Are you okay? You might need to go with Duda to the doctor later.
In an insane society, the sane man must appear insane.
In Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
True, I gotta give him a point there, although it was wrong. He's doing all right. I'll let him leak out for a little while.
Me so Sally. Oh, so.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Strap yourself in and feel the G's.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Friday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio, Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz. We're doing the three-man booth again.
Were we supposed to have pie?
Pie?
Yeah, Jason Duda with us.
Isn't that why we came?
Let me intro the show.
I don't care about all that, but go ahead, whatever.
Max Power Producing Engineering, 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. Apparently, Nick from Chicago can't make it today.
What's up with that?
We're here under false pretenses.
Is he really not coming?
He's really not coming.
Nick from Chicago? Oh boy, oh boy. What do you got going on?
Well, maybe he's got something going on, Jeff.
He's got everything going on.
People have stuff going on sometimes. Sometimes stuff pops up. It's just the way it works.
I had a lot going on today.
Like what?
Of course you did.
My wife, suddenly her eyes are bad. Had to take her to the eye doctor. Had to bring my laptop over here to Tony this morning. Get over to the eye doctor on Ridge Road. Meet a guy about a sprinkler system at League 42.
Oh, boy.
It never ends.
Oh. It's crazy, isn't it?
Tell him.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm trying to say.
Like people don't have anything to do.
No. Well, how's your wife doing?
I hope well. We got to see what's going on.
I almost forgot we were over here today until my friend reminded me. I was going to go to your house for sure.
Who's your friend?
David Michael Hahn. We had lunch today.
Do you have any other friends?
Doesn't seem like it. But he fills a lot of emotional voids for me, so it's all good.
Emotional voice.
Yeah, we're those kind of friends.
Okay.
I mean, you got to have a friend or two like that, Duda.
Well, Duda doesn't have emotional voids.
No, it doesn't seem to. He's fine. He was in a little bit early today meeting with our program director.
I was.
He was not. They were talking in the hallway.
Some high level something going on.
Some serious stuff, and it's just going to stay between us. That's how I operate.
I'll ask Tony later.
Yeah, he's not going to tell you.
I hope things go well for you.
Well, I don't know if they're going to. Well, we'll just have to wait and see.
Boy, the Olympics are winding down, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I hate it. We don't get this for another 2 years, and we don't get the summer again for four.
I've probably wasted way too much time watching the Cardinals rather than the Olympics, but I've watched a decent amount of the Olympics. I won't say I've watched as much as I wanted to, but the Cardinals, why am I watching the Cardinals?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I've been watching the Olympics. It only happens once every 4 years.
Well, and your country doesn't do anything.
Oh, we're the fastest team in the world.
28
fastest
medals.
Fastest team in the world.
Has anybody
28 medals.
Won the 4x100? We are considered the fastest team in the world. Noah Lyles won the 100.
We got disqualified.
Doesn't matter. You didn't win.
You know we would have.
No, you wouldn't have.
You got fewer medals than the Netherlands, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, as long as we stay within 10 times of what you guys get, we did good. You have 10 times the population that we do. That's how I look at it. So do you have 10 times more medals than we do? Obviously not, because you're not saying anything.
There's a more pressing...
Can I just say this about Canada?
You can say whatever you
want. It's a weak country.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Where do you get that from, I wonder? Now I know where Jeff gets it from every
where
once
I
in a while.
Where I get what from?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's all coming into fruition.
I don't insult entire countries.
Because the Olympics are on.
Have you heard how I've been talking about some of the ladies in the 15,000 meters?
Yes.
I love some of these countries.
15,000.
It's 10.
10,000, whatever.
Well, his eyes are going elsewhere. That's all right.
The
kid's doing
Max
just fine.
Max and I were watching before you guys got here the heptathlon. And the women running the 800 meters, one of the events required in the heptathlon. And I contend that of all the events in the Olympics, the 800 meters is the hardest. because you have to run it full out, especially in the normal 800, not the heptathlon. But these girls,
it's not easy.
These girls were dying after that.
Absolutely. And how about this? This is their last event, the 10,000 meter. In the heptathlon, you go.
That's the last track event?
No, it's for the heptathlon, I believe.
Oh, this is still the heptathlon?
Yeah.
No, this is a 10,000.
Or decathlon or whatever.
It says women's 10,000 meter final.
This is the 10,000 final.
Oh, this is just the 10,000?
And I think the heptathletes run the 5,000.
They run. Is that what they do the last one?
I think so. But who am I to correct a Canadian?
Yeah, no.
I mean, we'd be better off if we corrected more Canadians.
Probably. But you're not going to, and it's okay.
Quick question. Has anyone ever been no-hit both ends of a doubleheader?
Nobody cares about the Guardians.
I'm just asking.
You're a terrible team now.
Well, we'll see.
And they're going to talk about... Get me here.
Okay.
They're going to talk about this team folding. Because if I feel it in my bones.
Why are we talking about them folding and they have the same record as the Orioles? Why is that fair? Tell me,
the Orioles aren't playing great either.
But no one's talking about them folding.
No, because they have enough to hold on at least. They'll get to the playoffs.
The Guardians have a better record than the Dodgers. No one's talking about the Dodgers.
Because they're folding. Not playing terribly right now. When you get to August and you start showing your weakness.
Bad managing, isn't it? They didn't pace themselves. They didn't figure out how to get through the grind of a 162-game season.
Looks like their pitching's falling apart.
No, their pitching is going to be fine.
He can't take it.
Their pitching will be fine.
They just gave up another bomb, just so you know.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
3-0.
3-0 Twins.
Jeffers just hit another bomb.
Good God.
Santana hit a bomb two innings before that.
Yeah, I know. Shut up.
They're pitching you. That's all you were talking about earlier is how good their pitching was. Their pitching
is
not
there. Well, not Cantillo.
There.
Cantillo's not going to be
there. You got to accept reality. I'm not going to get on this show every day and try to soften the blow for you.
I don't need it. I don't need that. This is Cantillo's last start. We've seen Carrasco's last start. I told you what the rotation is moving forward, whether that's an excellent rotation, a good rotation, a bad rotation. It's at least a major league rotation. So let's see how that performs, and we'll move forward from there.
Well, good luck. I'm willing to call my team what it is. Very average. I don't believe the Cardinals have a snowball's chance to get to the postseason. In fact, I think they'll struggle mightily over the next 3 weeks because their schedule is really difficult. They go to Kansas City tonight. They play
them. They'll be getting blasted.
They'll get beaten by the Royals. They're not as good as the Royals. Jason, are you listening to me talk about my team?
I am, and you're I appreciate that.
I hope you do appreciate it because why be defensive about your team? You got to call it like it is.
I would hope you could. I do.
And I've never understood that about Jeff.
About what?
The ups and downs and the defensiveness. And
you need to calm down about my team. You want to hear an interesting stat that I uncovered
today?
No,
I do.
Bobby Witt is hitting 196 against fastballs on the road and 379 against fastballs at Kauffman Stadium. Please explain that.
Can't explain it.
But
he also did. He was on the road. His last road trip, he went 14 for 38. So that's hitting, what, 350? That's not bad.
Okay. But can you explain 196 against fastballs?
Can you explain? So now you can break down. Baseball has so many different stats to break down every single one. You find one out of 3,000 stats that they have, and we pick on that. It's ridiculous.
I've never been more ashamed of you
right now. Why is exit velocity at home is 101 and 96 on the road?
Your team is struggling. So now the Royals must be cheating.
Well, they must, because you just said no explanation for that.
There are
no logical explanations except for
what's the
something's
beauty of
fishy
baseball
going on.
Well, how come then, and how come maybe just more comfortable hitting at Kauffman Stadium? How come you look at
fastballs?
Why you look at NBA records? Why are they so much better at home? Are they all cheating?
I don't know that that's true.
But look at their records. Every team, just about every team, is way better at home than they are on the road.
How is a fastball? How is a fastball different on the road than it is at Kauffman Stadium?
Maybe you see it different. You see at Kauffman Stadium, you're used to seeing it from the same backdrop than you are at a different stadium that you see different every single day.
Who knows?
Interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Who knows the pitchers he's facing?
Why are you hitting it less hard? Why are you hitting the ball less hard?
Maybe you're not seeing it as good. Maybe you're not used to it.
Just no explanation.
Yeah, thank you.
The Royals are 27-28 on the road. So they've held their own. They're 37-24 at home. That is the best home record in the American League. It's the second best home record in baseball behind the Philadelphia Phillies.
What's the Guardians' home record?
How come the Guardians are 35-20 on the road? Or at home,
yeah,
at 32-27.
They have a better record.
A winning record on the road? Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, but how come they're not as good on the road as they are at home, Jeff? They're 15 games above 500 at home and only 5 games above 500 on the road. Why is that?
That's pretty, because.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me.
The home team's playing.
It doesn't make
home,
sense.
They bat last.
They should be the exact same.
Why
should
have
be
they
the
lost
same?
5 in a row?
Because they're terrible.
See?
See what we're dealing with?
Exactly.
A complete psycho.
It just me. It's
unbelievable. I mean, seriously, you're a nut.
So?
Score.
You get
don't
a hit.
You don't have anything to back up anything.
Just put it out there.
It's all about emotion.
It's for someone smarter than me to figure out then, I guess, why that would happen.
You know Saras on the show.
Okay.
We'll ask him.
Okay.
No, really, get him on next week.
I'll get him on right now.
No, you won't.
Oh,
we got to do it right now.
Duda, tell him how I get.
Oh, yeah, he can get him on. I'll give him that.
Here's what we have today on the show at 2:25. Baylor football preview with Zach Smith from the Waco Tribune. We'll talk about the Bears at 2:45. Melvin Lister, he's going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October. One of the great track athletes to come out of Kansas from Leavenworth High School, Butler Community College, the University of Arkansas, and a former Olympian, Melvin Lister, will join us at 2:45. And at 3:25, we'll talk about Jeff's favorite team, the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
I thought Duda has a game. Can we replace
Tyler Waldrop
this?
From the Tulsa World. We can do his game at 3.
We got 3 guests when we have this level of entertainment. You got to book the show better. You got to understand what people really want.
Jeff. You're off,
and they don't want Baylor
start.
Football.
Nobody cares about you.
That's fine.
I
Let
do.
Duda and me
I
do
care.
The show.
Thank you.
It would be so good if you and I did the show today.
Why?
We wouldn't have to talk about the Guardians.
I like it. I like talking about the Guardians.
We wouldn't have to hear this whining.
I enjoy it. It makes me feel better about myself.
Uh-oh, Parker stumbled.
So, Jeff, that's what you got.
What?
You're helping Duda feel better about himself.
As he should.
I
with
love
your
it.
Pathetic behavior.
I don't know if it's pathetic. It's
Why
sad.
Are you coming to his defense?
Just because.
Pick sometimes a side.
You don't got to pick a side.
Because he gets it. That's why.
I get it.
I don't think you do
get it.
Anyway, we got 16 Big 12 previews to do. I gotta get them done.
But come on, read the room.
16.
It's fun to talk football.
Is it?
Yes, I enjoy it.
Duda.
Either way,
God.
I'm fine.
I mean, we're in Big 12 country.
We sure are, which is now the entire country.
Basically, you are correct.
Every part of the country is Big 12 country.
I like talking to guests. We've got Duda for this segment. We'll get him into the top of the hour number 2 with a game, and we'll go from there.
Is it password?
Yep. Had to be. When
Why? When we
went out to the pump house, we had one of the listeners come over and said that he really enjoyed it, and so I said next time I'm on and I have to do a game, I'll do password.
You think he's
again.
Listening?
You bet you.
What was
he's
that
listening.
Guy's name? It was Dino.
Dino.
Remember Dino?
That's right. I remember Dino.
Dino, if you're listening, thank you. Thank you for inspiring us, and I apologize for Jeff here.
So I will be, I said I'd do it, so I did another password.
That's exciting.
Wow.
Now I'm going to go out with my wife tonight to have some dinner and not worry about the Royals.
Where are you going tonight? Did you go to Leakers last night? What did you end up doing?
Felipe's,
last night we just got a hamburger.
What from?
Brahms.
That's not bad.
They're
double bacon
they're,
cheeseburger.
Their bacon cheeseburger is
they're unbelievable.
The best.
They are good. They're good.
Sure.
It's the best, and I'll say that, and I feel good about
it. We went out to Jason's, not Jason Duda's house, but Jason's Deli last night.
Well, you're stuck on your three or four places.
Not really at all, but it felt like a sandwich last night. I went and had one.
You're stuck on your three or four.
You know, they've named a sandwich after me.
Sure they did.
At Jason's.
And tonight, we're going to try Culver's. What do you think about that?
You build your own sandwich. I called it the Jeffrey. Just let me do the punchline. Culver's is the same as Brahms. Why would you go to the same?
Culver's was all right. We went. Oh. Actually, I had the fish and chips. The fish and chips were good.
Well, we want to try a new place.
The burgers were fine. Nothing. I didn't think it was like, wow, I can't wait to go back to get one. But they were good. But I'd get the fish and chips again.
What's that other place on Mays Road that recently opened? What,
Popeye's?
No, come on, I don't.
Did Popeye's just open on Mays?
Yeah,
that restaurant.
Restaurant?
That restaurant on Mays Road, right?
You know how many restaurants are on Mays Road?
Right where you live, on that side of the street.
Sickies.
Yeah, we love that.
I haven't been in there yet. My son went, he loved it, but I haven't been there yet because it's packed all the time.
We loved that.
I've heard it's good. Everybody of the 8 or 10 people I've talked to say it's really good. I've had one guy that said it was not.
Huh.
So,
well, you're always going to have that one guy.
Bad day, right?
It's not barbecue. It's a restaurant.
Yeah, burgers, and they got a bunch of stuff.
They got every
sit-down place?
You think of a burger, they got it.
They got every burger you can think of.
Well, I can only think of one burger, and that would be the burger.
Any topping you want, they got it.
Okay.
You name it.
It's really good. I got to. I had them put an egg and some bacon on. It's like a breakfast burger.
Well, you have to have egg on a burger is the best.
It was great.
There you go.
I'm not going to put egg on my burger.
What? You got it.
I just don't feel
once
it.
Once you put an egg on your burger, you'll never want a burger without an egg.
I believe that, but I'm not ready for it yet.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And I believe you.
And they put hash browns.
That's too much. That's not even a burger. That's just a plate.
It's
a plate of stuff. That happens to be a burger.
No, it wasn't hash browns. It was tater tots.
Same diff.
But it was really good the way they did it.
I believe you.
So you ought to try going there sometime.
Yeah, maybe. Depends on if they have gluten-free buns for some of us who have restrictions in my family.
Oh, you cracked me
Why
up.
Is that funny?
That's even, you get so defensive.
I'm asking why it's funny.
Didn't ask that. You said, why is that funny?
I'm asking.
It's not funny.
Well, you're laughing.
Your reaction is funny.
What was my reaction? You laughed when I said, if they have gluten-free buns. That was your reaction. What is that a reaction to?
Look at this guy. He's laughing.
And he called me a psycho.
Gluten-free buns.
Why
is
the fake laughing? I don't get it. I just don't understand what's going on over there.
That's funny. That's truly funny.
What? I don't understand.
I don't know either.
You're in a tailspin.
What is in your Quick Trip cup? You're acting unhinged.
What? Take over. He's killing
me. Take over for what? I don't understand why you're losing it.
I don't either. Are you okay?
He's in a free fall.
I am?
It feels to me like...
You almost cry. You're crying and laughing.
I know.
What is going on?
I'm laughing so hard.
All he said was gluten-free buns.
I know. That was it.
Look at you.
Say that again.
Gluten-free buns.
It's so funny.
Why?
Oh, good God.
Walk up to anybody and say, hey, you know of anywhere that's got gluten-free buns? They will break down in laughter.
You figure?
Yes. Try it. We'll try it after the... there's Ted Woodward over there.
You think Ted?
We'll bring
Ted
him
might
in,
find it funny.
And Jeff will say, "Ted,
no,
do you
I'm
know of anywhere that has gluten-free buns?"
I'm not going to do that. In fact,
okay, Duda will.
I don't think he will. We are not your wind-up toys to say whatever you want.
Duda will play along.
Yeah, I will.
You will.
Yeah, why wouldn't
sure. You should be embarrassed
of what?
Just doing whatever he wants. That's sad,
Ted.
Oh my goodness!
But he walked by. So I wanted to get
him in here. That a boy.
All right, back in a minute. We'll talk Big 12 football. We continue Big 12 previews. Zach Smith from the Waco Tribune. We'll break down the Baylor Bears next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Joined on the hotline by Zach Smith. He covers the Baylor Bears for the Waco Tribune. Hello, Zach. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It's, you know, it's never a bad time to talk about football. Let me get that in off the top.
It's not, for sure. And we're looking forward to a revamped Big 12 again this year with a bunch of new teams. And Baylor's got to figure something out. They're coming off a season where they were 3-9. They lost their final five games of the 2023 season. I think their coach, Dave Aranda, I think everybody would agree that this is kind of an important season for him. Where are the Bears as we get ready to kick this thing off?
Well, I think that there's, you know, I agree, everybody agrees that Dave Aranda is kind of on the hot seat. He kind of needs to turn, he kind of needs to right the ship. But I think there's a lot of momentum with Baylor. You know, Baylor played more freshmen. More freshmen had more snaps than any other team in the Big 12 last year. You know, they had one of the worst defenses in the Big 12. So Dave Aranda, who had these great defenses at Wisconsin and LSU, he's taken over play calling duties on defense. And so I think all of that, the youth coming, getting a year older, some key transfers coming in, Dave Aranda taking over the defense. I think there is an optimism, you know, in Waco and with Baylor. And, there's just a lot of positive momentum, despite how disappointing last season was for the Bears.
That kind of answers my question, but I'll play kind of the counterpoint. You obviously know more. But, you know, you remake the offensive coaching staff. You take a big, you know, step in defense and have your head coach call the plays. They have a new quarterback. You know, is wholesale changes the right thing for this program at this time? And how could some of these results going negatively affect Dave Aranda's job status?
Well, I mean, I think we're going to know the first four games of the season. If they lose probably three of those, that's a big problem. Then we might not make it to the first bye week and Aranda might be gone. On the flip side, you know, those first four games, one of which is at Utah, which expects to be a Big 12 title contender. If they go the right way, man, I mean, I think that the schedule sets up for Baylor to really either grab momentum or lose momentum quickly. So I think these first four games that ends with a trip to Colorado and Coach Prime, their first game as a Big 12 school, it's going to tell us everything about kind of whether it's working, whether the changes are working, or whether it's not, and whether Dave Aranda is going to have a job later this year or next year.
Well, and if you were to, I know we're looking into a crystal ball, but where do you think Baylor ends up finishing in this new conference, which what seems like to be 45 teams in it? And how do you see the Big 12 shaping up this year?
Well, first for Baylor, I think I am kind of also optimistic just being around the program as much as I am and seeing all of the freshmen taking steps. I have them finishing 7-5 overall. I have them going to a bowl game, definitely not challenging for the Big 12 title, but I think they're going to make a bowl game. I think they're going to take that step, and I think Dave Aranda's job is going to be safe. As far as the Big 12 overall, I think it's really a three-horse race between Utah, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. And I really like Kansas State. I think Chris Klieman, you know, he built the program from the bottom up, and that foundation is hard to shake. You know, I think Utah, as talented as they are, there's still a lot coming into a new conference. And Oklahoma State is kind of – Mike Gundy's always unpredictable. And as good as Ollie Gordon is, Oklahoma State is always unpredictable. So I think Kansas State is the favorite, and I think for Baylor, I think they're going to make a bowl game.
We are talking Baylor Bears with their beat writer from the Waco Tribune, Zach Smith. So tell us about this new quarterback. It seems like almost everybody has a new quarterback with the transfer portal now. Daquan Finn out of previously played at Toledo, was the MAC player of the year last year. How good is he going to be, potentially?
I mean, I think he has the chance to, you know, if he hits as he did at Toledo, you know, he has the chance to push Baylor even further than my 7-win prediction. He's that good. He really shined at Toledo and really kind of proved that he could do it at the Division I level. Now, certainly the Big 12 is a step up. It's a new offense for him. It's a new offense for everybody. You know, they hired Jake Spavital, a former Texas State coach. You know, he coached Johnny Manziel and had some really good teams at West Virginia when he was the offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of newness on the offense, but I think Daquan has kind of grasped that and kind of ran with it. Now, I do have to say, you know, a starting quarterback has not been named. So it's still, you know, Daquan Finn, I think, is the odds-on favorite to start. But Sawyer Robertson, he started 3 games for the Bears last year. And he kind of also got that gunslinger mentality that I know Baylor is looking to do this season. So it's not an official deal, but, you know, I would be shocked if it's not Daquan come August 31st against Tarleton State.
I've thought about this a lot, and I guess it's not necessarily specific to Baylor, but more of a general question. When you go into the portal to get a quarterback especially, do you think it's more coaches kind of going with what they know and hoping that the player adapts? Because you don't always necessarily get your first choice, or is it the player that has to adapt to the coaching and figure things out along the way?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I think that the coaches really have to find a player that fits what they want to do. And Jake Spavital, the new offensive coordinator, is bringing a new offense that's 180 from what Baylor has been running for the last 2 years. And, you know, I think of all the quarterbacks that were in the portal this last year, Daquan Finn fits that probably better than anyone. He's got the ability to kind of, you know, get outside the pocket and make some plays, and he can obviously make some big time throws with more flying, a little bit more creative than kind of the ground and pound wide zone that Baylor ran for the last 2 years. So to answer your question, I really think that when coaches go into a portal, they're looking for the best player to fit what they want to do. And, you know, on paper, at least, it seems like Baylor's hit a home run with Daquan Finn.
And, you know, talking about the portal, is Baylor using the portal more now? Is that where they're going rather than recruiting? Because it always seems like now that people just go to the portal instead of trying to recruit these younger players, because you never know if you're going to get to keep them or not.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I give Dave Aranda a lot of credit. This is his first head coaching job, and he's very upfront with the mistakes that he's made, and he admits when he was wrong about something, and that after the first couple of years, he won a Big 12 championship largely with Matt Rhule's guys, and he didn't use the portal. He focused on recruiting, and that first year where it was really on him to build the program, he didn't use the portal, and Baylor suffered really bad because of it. And he admitted, I was wrong. So the last couple of years, they hit the portal really hard. And, you know, I think they brought in 14 last year. I think the number is 16 or 17 this year. And, you know, that on top of a much more focused and boosted NIL that Baylor has been focusing on for the last year has really given them some momentum, not only on the field, but in recruiting, in the portal, in just really everything overall.
Final question for Zach Smith from the Waco Tribune. We're talking about Baylor football. I've been around in the media here in Wichita forever. This is an intriguing Big 12 football race as I've ever seen. It's impossible to say who might win it. But with now the strength of the Big Ten and the SEC, is the Big 12 going to get any national run this year? Are people going to be talking only about these teams in the SEC and the Big Ten?
You know, and Commissioner Yormark, that's a great question. Commissioner Yormark at Big 12 Media Days was very aggressive with kind of the branding and kind of bringing the Big 12 along. And he, you know, whether he can actually do it or not, he wants to make the Big 12 the number one conference, obviously. And I think he's the right guy to do that. But again, to answer your question, I think the thing that's going to drive people to the Big 12 is the chaos, right? Like that is fun to watch. Like, yeah, we can watch Georgia or Ohio State and all these talented players just pound, you know, Rutgers and Vanderbilt. But when Baylor plays at Iowa State, that could be a barn burner. It could be the closest game. It could come down to a last-second field. You really never know how any of these games are going to go. And I think that once we get later into the season, that is going to draw eyes to the Big 12. That is going to be the greatest thing that the Big 12 has to sell is that parity right now. And it's just going to be so much fun to watch and so entertaining. It's what makes college football so awesome.
It's a good answer to that great question. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it. Hey, it's really good to have you on. You're enthusiastic. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
All right, Zach Smith from the Waco Tribune. What are your thoughts on that? Because we see in the Big Ten now, I don't think the AP preseason rankings have come out
Coaches
yet.
Coaches poll has.
But it's going to be loaded with Big Ten and SEC.
Of course it will, because that's where most of the good teams are. Most of the traditionally good teams that you would think about being in the college football playoff, they're all in those two conferences.
Coaches poll, here it is. Your first Big 12 team is number 17, Kansas State. You've got, out of the SEC, you've got number one, Georgia, number four, Texas, number five, Alabama, number six, Ole Miss, number 11.
I thought Utah or somebody was ranked ahead or...
Number 11, oh yeah, Utah's 13. Number 11, Missouri, and number 12, LSU. All before you get to a Big 12 team, Utah. Utah 13, K-State 17, Oklahoma State 18, Kansas 24. So you still got four teams in the top 25.
Arizona's not
but
there.
But none in the top 12.
Yeah, Arizona.
Arizona's 21.
See, you don't even, it's hard to even know, like, oh, you see Arizona and you do not think Big 12. So it's weird. It's going to take some time to get used to. But yeah, the two conferences that'll still be. And it's not just because Texas, Oklahoma, UCLA, USC. It's Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and the teams that have already been there.
The Big Ten, number two, Ohio State, number three, Oregon. Who would think of them in the Big Ten? Number eight, Michigan, number nine, Penn State. And then you go down all the way to number 23, USC, and number 25, Iowa. So anyway, I think it's going to be an interesting, fascinating college football season in many different ways. We got a 12-team playoff. We're going into a little bit of uncharted territory.
Yeah, plenty of opportunities. Go ahead, dude.
I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be interesting, no question about it. But like you said, it's going to take me a while just to remember who's in what conference.
Right.
And there is no Pac 10, 12, 8 conference anymore.
Nope.
Yeah, I want to see those teams scheduled. Washington, like, State and Oregon State.
Well, look for it.
Like, what are they doing? Like, what they're just are they just playing as independents?
Yes.
Pretty much. They've come to some agreement with like the
Notre Dame, another independent. Why don't they all the independents get together and make their own conference?
Maybe they should.
Well, some may as well.
They play Portland State, Texas Tech, Washington. Was a good glad they kept that game. San Jose State, Boise State, Fresno State, Hawaii, San Diego State, Utah State, New Mexico, Oregon State, Wyoming.
That's not a horrible schedule.
No.
You could potentially get into a playoff with a great record in that
schedule.
Well,
if you run the table, or yeah.
What team was that?
That was Washington State.
Here's Oregon State's schedule. Idaho State, San Diego State, Oregon, Purdue, Colorado State, Nevada, UNLV, Cal, San Jose State, Air Force, Washington State, Boise State.
Strange.
Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to put it together.
Basically a Mountain West schedule.
Yeah.
Melvin Lister joining us on the IHOP hotline. Melvin is going in. Well-deserved. To the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame, the 2024 class, that ceremony coming up on Sunday, October 13th in Topeka. Melvin, a graduate of Leavenworth, went to Butler County Community College, where he was one of the greatest athletes in the country, and then did his thing at Arkansas. Melvin, welcome. How are you?
How you doing?
We're doing well. So you were a jumper back in the day and an All-American jumper at many levels. An Olympian, how much are you enjoying watching these Olympic Games, and what kind of memories does it bring back for you?
I'll say this. For a long time, because I wasn't ready to leave the sport, I was a little bit bitter. But ever since my came to me and said that she wanted to jump, I've been enjoying it. I've been loving it. Man, it's a lot that's going on crazy with the Olympics right now. Things that we weren't expecting to happen. But, yeah, it's been fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm really getting back into enjoying it now, really.
Yeah, I was going to ask you kind of about reflecting on that experience in the Olympics because, you know, I'm sure you probably wanted to go and dominate, but there's also the fact that you were one of the 15 or 20 best jumpers in the world. And I think that's amazing. Do you think about that at all? And what were some of, you know, you said you were kind of bitter for a while. How did that kind of leave a bad taste in your mouth, just your experience in the sport?
It wasn't the sport. It was just I wasn't ready to go.
Yeah.
I hadn't accomplished the things I wanted to accomplish. I mean, I did do a lot. The sport was good to me. I wasn't ready to go, but I enjoy it. I truly love track and field. I've come to realize that was my first love. That's, you know, before any girl.
Thanks for clarifying that. I appreciate it.
And when you say you weren't ready to go, was it just the thing that the body wasn't able to do what you wanted it to do, or was it a mental aspect, or what happened there?
Yeah, just nagging injuries that last longer and longer. You know, as we get older, we don't heal as well. You know, just things like that. You know, and you know, it was just hard. It was hard to walk away. It was hard to say, you know, I've got to go ahead and hang it up. But I think person needs to know when to go ahead and hang it up. Because I think at points you can only do damage to your name. You know, you want people to remember you for the good things. And if the last thing you did was terrible, to remember much else, because, you know, people just tend to remember the bad things.
Talking now with Melvin Lister out of Leavenworth, a 1996 graduate, went on to attend Butler Community College, where he won 5 individual national championships across 2 seasons, 2 more national championships as a part of a distance medley relay team. So you were an all-around track athlete. What enticed you to attend Butler Community College after your high school career?
I went to Butler intending on playing football and running track. At that time, you couldn't have told me I wasn't going to be a football player, an NFL football player. The great Coach Chibas redshirted me. He gave me an ultimatum. He said 2-a-days and missed the World Junior Olympics in Sydney, Australia as a 10-year-old, or go back to my World Junior Olympics, you know, and miss football. And I don't feel like that was a decision. I feel like that could have been the time I got the chance to do that. So, you know, I talked with my parents, and we decided to go do that. And then I just lost love for football at that point. So I was at Butler, and I loved my coaches. I mean, Fred and Coach Tornadin and Coach Neubauer got on the internet. They did everything they can to try to get me whatever they needed as far as to coach me. And it was fun. So I stayed there.
So you cut out a little earlier. Did you say it was your daughter who came to you and said she wanted to jump?
Yeah, that just lit up my world.
Tell us about that. How did that all happen, and how have you been working with her?
So my son didn't want to run track. They both had something else in mind. And so, you know, then at 10 years old, 3 years ago, my daughter came to me and said, you know, Daddy, I want a long jump. And I don't know, that just ignited something in me. And she's good. she I think she's only lost twice since she's been jumping. She was the number one 13 country this year, you know, at 18 feet, 1 inch. And she easy to coach. She does what I tell her to do, and it's just working out. Maybe I wasn't supposed to win an Olympic medal because I was supposed to coach her to it. I don't know, but I'm enjoying this. I wish this on all parents to be able to help your kid in something that you love.
And before Jason asks his question, where do you live now? Where is she competing?
Oklahoma City.
Okay. Get back up to Kansas, man.
We actually competed. We came up to Leavenworth, and she won the 100, the 200, and the long jump up there this year.
Wow.
And we're up there next year. And I think we are going to look at some track meets up in the West area as well, because that's only 2.5 hours from us. So.
Yeah. I was talking about moving back, but that's fine.
I don't know. So far, Oklahoma has been good to my children.
Okay.
So, but what I will say is, I will forever be grateful to Kansas. Kansas was good to me. I started playing sports like that. The first thing, I'm on the front of the sports page, you know, for football. You know, Kansas is a good place to play sports for kids. They and everywhere in Kansas, they just motivate kids to play.
I'd like to go back to, you know, obviously, was there something that happened when you qualified? How did you feel when you've qualified for the first time to go to the Olympics? Do you remember exactly what happened? Was it the last possible situation where you had to get to the line first or jump first or your last jump? Can you just go back and tell us on a little bit on how that all came about and your feelings for the first time to be an Olympian?
Well, the first time I competed against guys I competed against all year in the long jump. I feel like that was really no surprise. The second time was the sweetest for me, because I wasn't expected to do as well as I did in the triple jump. And I had just got like fifth or sixth place in the long jump a couple of days before. So I'm going into this triple jump. And I hadn't really triple jumped that far in a couple of years. So I get out and I get this massive 2.5 foot PR. Now that right there, I can't even explain the feeling. I jumped up and down like a kid. But just to make the Olympic team, I mean, competing against so many people that are putting their lives into this, you know, change our lives around to compete, to work out, to make sure that we're in shape for this one moment in time. So, really, to make anybody that makes an Olympic team, my hat's off to them, because it's hard work. I mean, every year we train for championships, you know, and they're not as sweet as the Olympics, because you only get one chance every 4 years to do that.
Yeah.
So to make it twice is just, I mean, it's a dream come true type of situation. It didn't turn out like I would have liked. But I mean, I've gotta be thankful for the fact that I was able to do it twice.
Melvin Lister is our guest out of Leavenworth, Butler Community College, University of Arkansas, where he was a 4-time SEC individual champion, 5-time NCAA champion. Just an incredible list of accomplishments. But I'm hearing, Melvin, that even above all of this might be the food truck you operate. Tell us about that.
Me and my family have a food truck. We started out doing baked goods. My wife's family are a family of bakers. And it started out wanting to do Christmas without using credit cards. Wife baked pound cakes, different flavors. She has 28 different flavors of pound cake.
Oh.
And we started Well, she started this. She started going to barbershops and hair salons and car repair places. And then after a while, I started going with her. And then we started going to festivals doing this. And then we got a food truck. And our family just operates the food truck on our spare time. Yep.
Well,
it just morphed into something we weren't expecting. So,
how about that? Stuff. Life's full of surprises. Another reason we'd like you back in Kansas. Hey, Melvin, it's really great to talk with you. I admired your career from afar while it was going on, especially at Butler Community College. Just an incredible athletic accomplishments. Congratulations on going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. I'm sure that's an incredible honor for you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, guys, I wanted to say hi to my friend, Harris. That's a good friend of mine, and I hope he's listening right now. What's going on, Denver?
There you go.
Denver Harris.
Denver Harris?
You know him well.
Harris, yeah.
I know Denver very well. Just saw him this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to junior college together. We were at Butler together.
I hope you were a better student. Melvin, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Melvin Lister being inducted into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame coming up in October. Back in a minute.
Radio.
Radio you can touch.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Feels like old home week.
I know what you mean.
Jeff Lutz.
Definitely old home week when you're here.
I hear you loud and clear.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
It's old home week?
Are you saying I'm old or that I should be in a home?
Yes.
All righty then.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
All right, welcome back. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio, Jason Duda with us. Three-man booth today. Max Power producing engineering, gleaning good stuff from hour number one, including...
I don't know about good.
Gluten-free buns segment that will go down in history.
The gluten-free buns. No, it won't. It'll go down for today, and that's probably about it.
As one of the best segments we've ever had. We've got a game with Jason Duda. Max... All right, we're going to play Password again.
When I get
Dino,
out,
you're welcome. It's become a staple of the show.
It is. When I get out to like a 7-1 lead like I usually do, let's just call it at that point, we can say it's a skunk rule or
Didn't
something.
Didn't I come back and win the last time he got
no,
out to a good
quite.
Lead?
No, not quite. The time before that you did, but not the last time.
Yeah, that's true.
But I came back and made it interesting.
Of course.
All right, so what do we have?
Kind of like Bobby Witt hitting at home, right? It's just... You know, once I'm ahead by that much, it doesn't really matter.
When Jeff says things like that, be assured, ladies and gentlemen, the Guardians are losing.
Just barely.
And they are. Okay, what do we have?
Okay, well, what is it? That's all it is.
What is it?
What is it? And you guys should be able to figure it out after a little while.
Jeff, you go first.
You want the first clue or the second clue?
Of course I want the first clue. You know I'm a master at solving these in one.
Okay. Net.
Volleyball.
Ball.
Tennis.
Goalie.
Hockey.
No, ball. What an idiot.
What?
Stick.
The goal.
Net, ball, goalie, stick.
Field hockey.
Correct, Bob.
I said hockey.
Yeah, it's not field hockey. It's not field hockey. Figure it out.
You
got to
say, be more specific or something.
No,
that's
you
garbage.
Get one guess.
I said,
thank
the name
you.
Of
get
the
one
thing
guess.
In the thing.
Thank you. Next,
one guess.
I'll go first.
You want the first or the second?
That's
first.
Brutal.
You want the first?
Max
clue?
Judge.
Pitch.
Pitch. Card game.
Halftime.
Soccer.
Correct, Jeff.
Pitching.
One.
By the way, it's 4-2 now. I hate everything.
It is.
Good. Bobby Witt, sends you his sympathy.
And Castro stole second, so they got a guy on second too. Minnesota does. Just I thought I'd
why
throw
are
that
you
out there. Just because it's fun now.
No, you probably have some fantasy idiot on your on there or something.
Oh, I have an idiot on there,
who?
And I'm getting. I want to get rid of him.
Who is?
I got Thomas. Thought he'd maybe
Lane
help.
Lane Thomas.
Out.
He's awful.
He's terrible.
All right, next.
Okay, Jeff, you want the first clue or a second clue?
I'll go second this time.
All right. Oh, I got such a track record of getting the first
look
one.
Look what I do to him. He melts down.
It's important that when you're picking first or second in some of these, it makes a big difference. So,
all right, go.
You're first? Net.
Good God.
Net. I know. This is good.
Water polo.
You are correct.
Oh, my God. Shut up. I hate it. This is the worst day of my life.
He's got your stick.
He figured it out.
All right.
I'll go second.
You want second? Okay.
Net.
Music.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
New music.
Well, they're two different words. Music and then new. Two different.
Not necessarily new music.
No.
Music and new. Yep. No clue. Pass.
Olympics.
Snoop Dogg.
Dancing.
Music, new.
Olympics.
Olympics.
Dancing.
I don't know what that's called.
Okay. First time.
Break dancing.
Well, breaking, I'll give it to you.
Ah, man. I just
you
commented
had it.
On it.
You should have had it.
I used mind control to take the answer out of his brain.
You want first or second?
Second.
All right.
I don't think you can do it again.
Heavy.
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 Weightlifting.
You are
God,
correct.
Are you serious? That's so easy.
You should have took first.
Yeah, I probably should have.
Well, you get mad at yourself.
I'm mad at you, actually.
Thank you.
Are you? Okay, well, let's go back to this then. Okay, who's
up?
Got to
go.
Net.
I'll go second.
Net.
Ball.
Olympic sport with a ball. Golf.
Set.
Oh my
Volleyball.
God.
Net.
Tennis.
Spike.
I said.
I know what you said, but it's not the right answer. It's not the answer that you need to say.
Women's volleyball.
Beach volleyball.
Sand.
Oh,
sand.
Come.
That's beach volleyball.
That's beach volleyball.
No, he doesn't get that.
Yeah, he does.
But
he
beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball.
Why wouldn't I get it? Look at him trying to keep score over there.
I got it. It's 3-3. It's a battle today.
Is that what you have?
Jeff, first or second?
I'm putting the heat on him again.
Oh.
You can't do it three times. First.
Net. All right. Ride.
Ride. Equestrian.
Swim.
Ride and swim. Water polo.
Run.
Oh.
Three seconds.
Gosh darn it. I know.
Time.
Decathlon.
Triathlon. Correct. Jeff.
Doggone it.
All right, 4-3, Jeffrey. Bob, first or
second?
Okay. Duel.
Fencing.
You are correct.
No.
Jeffrey.
Yes, sir.
No way.
Yes, sir.
5-3. Just jumped ahead of you. Just like
just
that.
Just jumped right ahead.
Most obvious clue with number one.
Sometimes
if
that's
somebody
the way
was
it works.
Producing this game
hey,
for you.
You should have picked
fire
one.
Your ass.
Yeah,
you
wouldn't
picked
be
one.
A, you wouldn't be a good host of the regular password.
You should have picked
this
one.
This show wouldn't last. More than a week on the air.
Oh, well, I guess that's why I'm only here once in a while. Figure it out, Bob.
That is why. You're
exactly.
Good. That's a good call.
So, hey, Jeff, you want first or second?
Yeah, I want to go first.
Run.
Run.
Pole vault.
Long.
Run long.
Yeah.
Marathon.
Jump.
Hurdles.
Water. steeplechase.
Correct.
Well done. See, some are a little tougher, some are easier. You just got to pick the right
that
one.
That hurts my feelings that he got that. That is so cheap.
All right, that's 5-4. So, Bob, it's your pick. All right. Twist.
What was it?
Twist.
Twist.
Jeff.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Spin.
Spin and twist. Diving.
You are correct.
Spin and twist.
Ties it up.
Great clues.
Those are some of the worst clues you'll ever hear.
All right.
How'd I get it then?
I don't know, because you're on some weird wavelength with stupidity.
All right, Jeff. You want first or second?
Second.
This will kill him.
Well, not really. He probably should get this after the second one.
Thanks a lot.
Heavy.
Again?
Yeah.
Again.
Yes.
No clue. I can't be weightlifting, so.
No. Throw.
Oh, my God.
Well, you got three chances. I'll go with shot put.
Well, of course. It's not shot put?
Far.
What?
Yeah, far. Heavy throw far.
Heavy throw far. Oh, what's that called? Hammer throw.
You are correct.
God, it could have been discus. Could have been hammer. You're on the worst.
Discus isn't heavy.
I've never thrown a discus.
Well, then, why are you telling me it's wrong then?
I've thrown a discus. It's not that heavy.
Then why are you throwing it not as far as the hammer, apparently?
Have you ever seen a hammer? Have you ever tried a hammer? No, you don't know it, so never mind.
I've thrown a shot put, and you wouldn't believe.
And the score is 6-5
for Bob.
Yours truly.
Bob, you are up first. You want first or second?
Second. I'm killing this.
Flexible. That's for Jeff.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
He keeps going there.
Powerful.
Flexible and powerful. No clue.
Artistic.
Flexible, powerful, artistic. Simone Biles.
Bars.
Flexible, powerful, artistic. Bars. The uneven bars.
Palm a horse.
Gymnastics.
Yes! Gee.
Those were the worst.
Those were awful.
Well, they weren't supposed to be easy. You guys whine when they're easy.
Some of them are.
And then
easy.
They make it tough, and then
flexible.
I don't like it.
Powerful.
I don't like it. All right.
Whose turn is it?
6-6.
Games.
Jeff, you want one or two?
I don't think this is right.
Why?
Because didn't I go first?
Yeah, let's go.
Six.
So you would go first on 13. Go.
Yeah, that's what I meant. First.
Drive.
Golf.
You are correct.
Oh, for crying out loud. Really?
Yeah, boy.
Drive?
Yeah, that was the first one.
What was the second one?
Green.
Oh, my God.
That was an easy one.
I mean, that was one of the easy ones.
Good job. Good clues.
Fourth and fifth.
You got to be easy.
No, that was a good clue there. Good clues there
sticks,
now. That's pretty good clues there now.
That's good clues there now.
That's the stupidest thing.
I got something to say here now.
Just want
to
say a few words.
I just want to say a few words here now.
Second.
You want to go second?
I'll go first.
No, it's too late.
I'll go first.
Card late is a card play.
You want first?
Yeah.
Ball.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
You should have went second.
Basketball.
Oh, he got it.
No, he did.
He did.
You can't say ball when the thing is basketball.
Yeah, he can.
No,
it's
you
my
can't.
Game. I can do whatever I want.
You just gave away the password in the word.
You'll like this one.
What do you want to do?
You want one or two?
Two.
Pin.
Pin?
Yeah. Pin.
Pin. Can't be golf.
No.
Wrestling.
You are correct.
Oh, I thought it was bowling.
See?
Well, are we tied again?
No.
I'm up 8-7.
No way. That can't be true.
Okay, do you want first or second?
I'll go first. I'm rolling right now.
400, I am.
400 IM.
Yep.
Relay.
Freestyle.
Swimming.
You are correct.
Pretty easy. Oh, my God. That was so...
yeah, I know. What How did you get it?
Who did you get these?
What kind of a moron?
Just name an event in the sport, and I think you got it.
Yeah, like, it should be pretty easy. You figured out it's the Olympics.
Shoot a basket. You should, well, no. That could be
Why
basketball.
Why don't you work from most difficult...
Because it's no fun that way. I don't like doing that. And it's my game, so I'm going to do it my way.
Next.
8-8. What a battle.
It's a battle.
First or second?
Second, please.
Combat.
Combat?
Yep.
Judo. Oh,
you're going to be so mad. Ring.
Boxing.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
9-8 for Jeff.
You Whoa. Just give it away for Jeff.
Whoa.
Sometimes it goes down like that.
First or second. That's why it's up to you. You got to pick the right
some
one.
Some of these should go to 4 or 5. They should be
some
hard.
Some do. Some don't.
Yeah, Mr. 400 IM.
Yeah.
Badminton?
I didn't do a badminton one. Dang it.
I'm talking.
I'll go second.
Net.
Oh, God.
No, okay, you're going second?
Yes.
Net.
Grunt.
Grunt.
Ugh!
What sport do you grunt in? I think we've already done... I don't know if we've done tennis. Tennis.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is beautiful. What's it? 12-4 something?
10-8.
That's it?
10-8 with two left.
Next.
It's Jeff. You want first or second?
I'll go second.
Sand.
What?
Sand.
Sand.
Yeah.
Sand.
Sand.
Well, we've already done beach volleyball and golf.
Yeah.
No clue. Pass.
Run.
Sand run. Are there other events in the sand? Max, tell me. Max clearly knows what it is. Did he say it? Did he mouth it to you?
No.
Mouth it to me.
Hey, hurry up.
You got 3 seconds.
The sand run.
Leap.
Equestrian.
No.
You've got to be kidding.
They don't run on sand on the equestrian.
Track.
Oh, it's the high jump.
Triple.
Oh. Triple jump.
Yeah, that
You
one.
Can't say triple.
Yeah, I can because it was the last clue.
Say
you only
three
get five.
Then, you idiot.
You get
Thank
five.
You. Thank you.
Say five, three.
Four. It's my
you
game.
You don't say triple.
I'll do my game how I want to do
it. It's a bad go. Way
Just
to
so
do it.
Last one. You
I'll
could
go,
tie it up.
I'll go first. No, I'll go second.
You want second?
Yes.
Sprint.
100 meters.
Jump.
Sprint and jump. Well, it's got to be the hurdles.
Throw.
The decathlon.
You are correct.
So easy.
Yes, sir.
Sprint.
Jeff is the champion. 11-9.
Oh, convincing victory. Even won by two.
What a
That's
battle.
How it's done right there.
Oh, it's the greatest ever. Olympic sports, if you guys couldn't figure it out.
Gluten-free.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was.
Gluten-free buns.
Yeah, Mr. Melvin Lister,
so
he
mad.
Said
he
was bitter. He's never met you.
I don't know
bitter
it.
Until he meets Bob
Gluten-free
Lutz.
Gluten-free buns.
I love it.
Is that an event?
It could be.
We'll be back. Tyler Waldrop joins us from the Tulsa World. He is Oklahoma State beat writer for that great publication. Tyler, hello. Welcome to our show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing good. We're going to preview Oklahoma State. It looks like, on paper, they have everything you need outside of maybe a proven defense, but they got a lot of guys back on defense. It looks like they are primed to have a really good year. What could keep that from happening?
Well, I think this, you know, probably the same thing that could impact most teams would just be an injury to kind of the guy. And for Oklahoma State, that's Ollie Gordon. So I, you know, a lot's been said about Ollie. From a football standpoint, that I fully expect him to repeat with how successful he's been. I've heard some talk of just, you know, maybe he might wear down with the workload he had last year. You know, he led the nation in rushing. So I do think that's a concern. And obviously teams are going to stack the box, but I kind of think he's going to be successful even if they do stack the box. So I expect a big season for Ollie Gordon. That said, if he were to have an injury, there's almost no proven depth behind him. There's a transfer from Indiana who did great for them, but still wasn't a workhorse the same way Ollie was. So I think that's probably the biggest concern if you're an Oklahoma State fan right now.
What is it about, and you may disagree with this premise, but I think Mike Gundy is a topic and always. What is it about him that he seems to have a trance over Stillwater and that program? He said when Ollie Gordon got arrested, well, his punishment is he's going to play more. Basically, we're going to give him the ball more. And then he said he went out drunk driving 100 times. We've seen some other just crazy opinions. Nothing ever seems to stick with him. I know he wins a lot, but he doesn't really win anything. Is he just that valuable to that program that he's irreplaceable?
That question comes from my son who can't stand Mike Gundy. But go ahead, answer it, Tyler.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the, especially, you know, especially around this area, the just in terms of Gundy's influence, I mean, I think that's the influence of the modern day, in most places, football coach. There's a couple areas where we could point to basketball coaches that have that same level of influence. But I mean, I think if you're a coach and you stick around, which is no easy thing these days, but if you're a coach and you're there 5 or 6 years, just by being there that long, you're going to accumulate influence. And, you know, Gundy doesn't have the signature wins that we expect of these sort of household names. But, I mean, this is his 20th season leading Oklahoma State. But making it 20 years anywhere is a pretty tall task. So I think just the fact that he's survived and made it this long and that Oklahoma State has been successful under him, I think you're just going to accumulate sort of that amount of respect or prestige or whatever you want to call it, just over time almost.
With Oklahoma going to the SEC, how does that affect Oklahoma State? It's got to play into it a little bit, but what's the feeling there about that?
I mean, I think the interesting thing is that rivalry clearly matters, but for Oklahoma State fans, I think they're doing their best to especially where football's concerned, move on. Oklahoma's, you know, they're not going to play. There's not a reasonable path to seeing those two teams play anytime soon. So I think it's a game people probably wish, you know, could be on the schedule at some point, but it's not. I think the biggest impact it's going to have is, you know, it'll be interesting to see how recruiting shakes out. I personally think Oklahoma State is well positioned to become a face of the new Big 12. I think Oklahoma's gone. Texas is gone. Oklahoma State, in theory, on paper, should be positioned to win or compete in most of these Big 12 championship games coming up the next couple of years. If they can do that, can Oklahoma State's recruiting profile go up nationally? I don't know. I'm really interested to see that. That's what I'm interested to write about. And if Oklahoma struggles in the SEC, they're in a better conference, but do people want to go play for Oklahoma now that they're in the SEC if they're competing to be fifth, sixth, wherever they are in the SEC. So could Oklahoma's recruiting profile take a small dip? I'm really interested to see how that affects things in state and nationally with, you know, the guys that are going to choose to play for these schools in the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, interesting. Tyler Waldrop with us from the Tulsa World. We're talking Oklahoma State football. Interesting schedule. We always like looking at this stuff. 3 non-conference games, South Dakota State, Arkansas, Tulsa, and then a home game against Utah, a road game against Kansas State. Many believe those three teams, you include Oklahoma State, are the three best in the Big 12. That's a really interesting way to start Big 12 play for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, count me among pretty much everybody. I'm looking at Oklahoma State, I'm looking at Utah, and I'm looking at Kansas State, the small for the Big 12. I might be jumping ahead. I think Oklahoma State is going to be in the Big 12 title game this year. But to do that, you almost have to go 2-0 to start Big 12 play. You need to beat Utah. You need to beat Kansas State. Because if those are the teams that are going to be in contention, you really want to have that, you know, put them down one and have that tiebreaker over them. So, a huge crucial stretch. I think the opening games are really interesting. I think games Oklahoma State should take care of, but, you know, South Dakota State winning the FCS just makes that an interesting game. I think going up against Arkansas, you know, a regional opponent, a team that needs a win badly. I'm interested to see I have to imagine Arkansas in the first 3 weeks is pulling out all the stops to get some wins early. So I think the opening slate is going to be maybe more interesting than people expect, but I still think Oklahoma State should have the talent to kind of separate itself and at least get those wins early.
And K-State and Utah, interestingly, don't play one another this year. So for whatever that's worth. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about this offense. It's like they've got like ages of NFL veterans, not just like NFL young players, but seventh-year quarterback, a bunch of sixth-year guys on the line. How much is that an advantage for Oklahoma State, just having guys that have seen everything?
I think that, and this is true of several positions, the biggest thing is the offensive line. I mean, I think there are 7 guys that started multiple games last season, and if I remember correctly, I think all of those guys might be fifth-year seniors or might be fifth-year players or older. There's a really good chance that whoever Oklahoma State's offensive lineman is at worst a 4 or 5 year guy this season, even with a couple injuries, even if they need to sub in some guys that maybe, you know, we're not expecting to be the starters at the beginning of the season. So I think that's probably the biggest thing is just experienced offensive lineman, a quarterback that's, you know, I feel like as, you know, been in college football forever in Alan Bowman. I think it's huge. I think the biggest thing that we've heard throughout the offseason is spring was more productive, fall is more productive, because we're not wasting any time we're not starting over. The freshmen, and Gundy was pretty honest about this the other day, the freshmen, it's kind of on those guys. They're going to need to figure out a way to make up time, because we're not starting at the normal start place for this team. So many guys are back. So many guys have been here forever. We're starting at, you know, they're starting at like practice 3 or practice 5. And, you know, so if Oklahoma State can capitalize on that, you know, hopefully start this season a little bit closer to game 2 or game 3, just in terms of execution, and maybe guys don't make the dumb penalties that sometimes you see freshmen make because they get confused or flustered, I think it could be huge. The experience is a big reason I think Oklahoma State will have a special season this year.
What do you think about, obviously, the new Big 12 with the 16 teams and teams coming in and all the teams moving and the different conferences? How do you see it all turning out? We talked earlier in the show about, you know, Utah, I think, is ranked 13th in the coaches poll, and that's the highest Big 12 team. Do you see that as being the trend that will stay throughout the year?
In terms of Utah being the highest, or just well, in no, terms just of the Big 12's best team?
Just with the SEC and Big Ten, and is that just going to be where everybody's going to be talking about?
Yeah, I think, and you know, people around here they may hate hearing this, but you know, whenever the Big 12 commissioner has spoken, he's been pretty clear. We feel we're a, you know, the Big 12 is one of the top three conferences. And none of the interviews I've seen has he, you know, made any statements on the Big 12 being the best conference. I don't think it's the best conference right now. So I do think, especially early on, all the attention is going to go to the Big 10. I think it's going to go to the SEC. And I think whether you like what those conferences have done or not, they kind of deserve the attention. I mean, just look at, you know, the Big Ten has Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Oregon, Washington, like, and other teams. Like, I'm excited to see how that conference shakes out. I'm excited to see how the SEC shakes out with Texas and Alabama and Georgia and LSU. Like, I think those conferences are interesting because of, you know, just the sheer number of, like, high-profile programs they have. I think the Big 12 is clearly third in that list. But I think the thing the Big 12 does have going for it is Oklahoma and Texas are gone. So on one hand, you can go, oh, we lost sort of the faces of the conference. On the other hand, like anyone in the conference right now, if they can get their act together, can say, can we become Oklahoma and Texas? And if any of these teams, I think, can win consistently over the next 3 or 4 years, I think they're just going to get vaulted into that top level. I think recruits will get funneled towards those programs. I think money will get funneled towards those programs because they'll be winning the Big 12. They'll be going to the playoff every year. And if you do that enough years in a row, you know, you can build a, like, look what Dabo Swinney did with Clemson, basically at the start of the playoff era. I think there's at least one or two spots in the Big 12. If anyone can claim those spots, you can basically say, we're going to vault into the national consciousness the same way Clemson did. And I think that's exciting. I think that's exciting for these teams. I think it's exciting for the Big 12. And I also think, you know, as much as I kind of think it's going to be Utah, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, if you told me you could name five other teams in the conference, and if you said, you know, they're going to be there, I wouldn't be completely stunned. I think it is a competitive league. So I'm really interested to see how the league goes this year, but 3 years out, I think that's when we're going to kind of see, you know, how excited are people with these conferences. And that's, to me, is a lot more interesting than talking about it just in terms of this year.
Tyler, thank you so much. We appreciate your time talking Oklahoma State football, Big 12. We're excited for the season to begin. I'm sure you are as well. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you all so much. Have a great day.
Crazy train.
Crazy train.
Yeah, that's his biggest.
That was
fit.
A hockey one that we used to come out to all the time when I was playing junior back in Canada. I know that one.
The train one.
That train one.
Yeah.
That train one. Yeah.
All aboard.
See, you guys knew what I was talking about.
We sure did.
Sure we did.
That'd be like one of your clues for that, password.
For crazy
that's
train.
A good one.
Crazy?
That's unusual.
Train?
You know what?
Song. Can I go home?
Yes, please. We don't need
Oh, really?
You. Yeah.
Oh, he's out of here. You got to wait for your computer.
Yeah, that's true.
Hopefully you'll be all right. I'm worried about you. Oh, he's leaving.
He is leaving.
He's quitting the show, folks. He gone. See you, Bob.
Bye, Mr. It was Professional.
Fun. It was fun while cool. It lasted.
Cool shorts. You think I care that he's leaving? What do you want to talk about?
What just happened?
I don't know.
I don't think he got his keys. He didn't throw his trash away. What?
He just left everything.
He did. That's embarrassing. Did he even log out of his computer?
I don't think so.
Sad.
I don't know. What's
Sad
his
is
deal?
What it is.
What's his deal? What's his problem?
I don't know what the problem is, but, you know, we were having a good time, and he talks about how I'm threatened by the three-man booth.
I don't know.
He can't even have a conversation.
He can't even finish.
He leaves.
He can't even finish. That's what's upsetting.
Oh, he's back.
Like, as a professional, you'd think you'd finish the show, and then maybe after you'd leave. But not this guy. I mean, he just gone.
Yeah.
See you later.
He didn't think we could handle it.
No.
And then when we obviously proved that we could, He's back.
He returns. Isn't that the truth?
What are you sitting there for?
Yeah, what? Why are you even here if you don't want to be here?
You going to talk?
You know that Jeff and I have done the show for longer than a segment before, correct?
Even longer for a day.
I know. It's crazy.
Longer than a week.
Months. We've done it months at a time.
And we did it pretty well.
Very well.
And that one lady said, don't even bring Bob back. You remember that?
I do remember that. Catherine.
Catherine. Wonder what happened to Catherine. Well, we don't hear from her now that Bob's back on the show.
Maybe that's why. It's tough to say. I mean, I honestly don't know for sure. I feel bad that Bob's upset. I don't know why, though. So,
well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't bother me because there's no reason for him to be upset.
Not going to lose any sleep over it.
I guarantee you I could have a nap in about 4 minutes. As soon as the show is over, sleepy time.
That's pretty much where I'm going.
I'm basically there.
Straight to the couch after.
Basically there, and I won't even think about Bob for the rest of the weekend.
Probably turn on some Olympics. Definitely not going to watch the guards tonight.
There's no reason to. There's no, if you don't want to watch any offense,
well,
then
you
can't watch.
They're on Apple TV. There's no sense in wasting my time. I do want to see how Alex Cobb pitches, but other than that, who cares? You got your beach volleyball final going on. Canada hanging on.
They're hanging in there with Brazil. Brazil was heavily favored in
this.
You would
think Brazil would be heavily favored. There seems like there's probably a lot more sand in Brazil. Is that true?
Nice sand, yeah, for sure.
What kind of sand game does Canada have?
You don't really get that kind of sand in Canada.
You wouldn't think.
It's more rocky and that sort of thing. There's a few areas where it's not bad, but not like in Brazil.
Who beat the U.S.? Was it Canada or
Brazil?
Yeah,
it was Canada.
How good did that feel?
Well, it was kind of a win-win situation for me.
Yeah,
but
deep
I like cheering for the underdogs too, so I was kind of excited Canada beat them, to tell you the honest truth. They're coming out of the lucky losers bracket, which no women's team has ever got to the.
What does that mean?
They had a
loss in the.
During the qualifying, they have a lucky losers bracket, so two teams get to play for the last spot.
Okay.
And they got in, and now they're in the final.
And
never happened before in women's.
And could win the whole thing.
There's a chance. There's a chance.
It's going to be
Brazil's
them
tough.
Or Brazil, I think.
Brazil's tough. This is going to be tough. But they're hanging in there. I'm proud of them.
Is Canada, is this their moment in these Olympics? The 4x1, they won that. They could win beach volleyball. What else has caught your eye from the great country up north?
There's not a lot. The Summer Olympics really aren't our gig.
Yeah, winter.
Let's be honest.
Winter, you're going to clean up.
But the fact that we did win the 100-meter 4x1 relay today, I was pretty jacked about that.
That doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. Well, no, that's not true. They won it in 2016 or 20 in Tokyo. They won it one of the last 2 years.
Okay, well, sorry. It doesn't mean it's happened a bunch throughout history.
No.
But clearly Canada is raising its sprint game.
And then we ended up with a medal in pole vaulting.
Impressive.
Like,
I don't know
we're
what
doing
would
good.
Motivate
we're
someone
doing good.
In Canada to run.
Well, it's cold, so you can't walk. If you run, you warm up.
That's fair.
Especially in the winter when it's super cold, you know. That's just the way it is.
I get it.
You should, Jeff.
Any final words from Bobby over there? Or is he?
I don't know. He's grumpy. I don't know what happened. It's
why
are
you
disappointing.
Pouting, man? Why are you pouting?
What happened? Where'd it go? Oh, look at him. He started the show. He doesn't think we can
handle
it.
Then he laughed for years.
Gluten-free buns. Gluten-free buns, Bob. Gluten-free buns. Come on.
And now he ends it.
No, that's not even working. Wow.
What are you doing this for?
Yeah,
we don't have any control over when the show ends. What is he doing?
I have no clue. I don't know. I haven't seen it before. What did we do?
I don't know either. This is one of the strangest situations.
It is very strange.
Do you think
he going to be okay to drive home?
I don't know. Do you think he's actually he's pacing now?
I know.
He's going up and down the hallway.
Nobody in Max doesn't know. Nobody knows. Listeners are probably wondering what happened.
It's been a strange show for Bob today.
It has. You think he struggled a little bit?
He's run the gamut of emotions. He was mad during the game. He's kind of irritable.
Lost the game.
He laughed his heart out. And now I don't know what's going on.
Gluten-free buns.
But he did get us talking about them.
Maybe that's what he wanted.
Perhaps. All right, that's our show for today. That's our show for the week. Are you back anytime next week, dudes? I might need you Tuesday.
I'll let you know.
All right, thank you. Thanks to Max Power. Thanks to our guests today. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday. Hopefully Bob has ended his hunger strike or whatever he's doing. Later.